بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد رسولا وجبت له الجنة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم الحمد لله respected أساتذة علماء مشايخ respected brothers and beloved students all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with iman put us in the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send us in this world for a short while and given us this beautiful deen of Islam. These are three of the greatest ni'mats and bounties which Allah can give a person. Alhamdulillah, Allah has granted us all three of these. We make dua, Allah keep us steadfast on deen and iman and take us away from this dunya at that crucial time of maut with salamati of iman. In the hadith sharif which I have recited before you, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam mentions that whoever says, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا Jannat becomes wajib for such a person. We should try and include it in our daily wazifas. And Hazrat Maulana Yunus Dayasaf Rahmatullah Ali used to say, in these type of virtues included is death on iman. Because who's going to go to Jannat? Jannat is exclusive for the believers, and to reach Jannat a person has to pass away with iman. What it means, that رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا I am extremely happy that Allah is my Rabb. Happiness is the act of the heart. From the bottom of my heart I am overjoyed. I am extremely happy Allah is my Rabb. In this world, whatever people are worshipping besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality they are worshipping creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us from the worship of creation and we are worshipping that one mighty, powerful Allah. What a great thing this is. And included in this also is that I am extremely happy that Allah is my Rabb, meaning that I am extremely happy also with every decree of Allah. Whatever condition Allah keeps a person in, whatever condition Allah keeps me in, I am happy with that. I have absolutely no complaints. Rabbil Islami Deena. I am extremely happy with my heart that Islam is my deen. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. The only deen which has value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the deen of Islam. The Deen of Islam refers to that way of life which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only way of life which has value and acceptance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whosoever chooses any other way of life besides the Deen of Islam, no matter who it is, intellectual of the time, leader of the time, professor of the time, and no matter which other way of life it is, outwardly it may appear to be promising, successful, comfortable. But Allah declares, فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ, it will never be accepted from such a person. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. In akhirat also, this person will be amongst the losers. And وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا, I am extremely happy from the bottom of my heart that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Rasul. What a Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. The greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The poet says, Al-Yaqutu hajarun laysa kal-hajari, wa Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam basharun laysa kal-bashari. An emerald, no doubt it's a stone, but like no other stone. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt a human being, but like no other human being. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and whatever method he used in doing it, there can never be a better way of doing that. That's the sign of a perfect lifestyle. In this world, a person may do something, you say he's an expert in this. It doesn't mean he's an expert in everything that he does. Whatever Nabi alayhi wasallam did, and whatever method he used in doing it, there can never be a better way. That's a perfect lifestyle. And a completely transparent life. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam never ever stopped anyone from narrating anything about him. Whether it was in the masjid, whether it was in the bazaar, whether it was on a journey. To the extent even in his private life, in his own house, he never stopped his wives from mentioning anything that he did. In our life, we know, I hope nobody saw me doing that. Please don't tell anyone you saw me doing that. Nabi alayhi salam had a completely transparent life. What this also means that I'm extremely happy Allah has given me these three things, which means that everything else now in my life is secondary. The main determining factor of happiness in my life are these three things. Everything else is secondary. Wealth, honor, position, etc. Allah will give some more, Allah will give some less. But that is not going to be the determining factor of happiness in my life. That is not going to determine how, what a happy person or what a grieved and sad person I am. Allah gave Qarun plenty of wealth. So much of wealth Allah had given Qarun that to carry the keys of his treasuries, it required a big, strong group of men just to carry the keys of his treasuries. One day Qarun came out, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. One day he came out in front of his people with pomp and splendor to make a show out of his wealth. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَهُ حَظٍ عَظِيمٌ. Those people, they were believers, but of weak iman. They had desire for dunya. The determining factor of happiness in their hearts was dunya. If I got it, I'm a happy person. If I don't have it, I'm an unfortunate person. So when they looked at Qarun, they said, يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. If only we also had so much wealth like Qarun. Nasib Dar, what a fortunate man he is. So they were grieved because they didn't have it. The determining factor in their heart of happiness and sadness was having wealth and not having wealth. On the other hand, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, those people who were given knowledge of deen, those people who were given understanding of deen, those believers, they saw through the whole thing. And they said, وَيْلَكُمْ, woe unto you. That is not the criteria. That is not the determining factor of happiness and sadness. ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعْمِلَ صَالِحًا. the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far better. For those who have iman, those who have amal-e-salihah, the criteria, the determining factor of happiness and sadness is this year. The determining factor why I will feel happy, because Allah gave me, Allah is my Rabb, Islam is my deen, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Rasul. Everything else is secondary. Respected brothers, today, living in this world, we see that the Muslims are undergoing great oppression wherever we see in the wide world. Now, this can easily lead a person to become despondent, to lose hope of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it became necessary, and it's necessary to give some encouragement to the distressed hearts and to remove doubts and to explain that how we should handle such situations and conditions. Keep in mind that even more difficult and challenging times came to the Muslim Ummah before, but they arose and they even became stronger afterwards, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced their difficulty with His divine assistance. We should remember many a times all these trying conditions that come, they are actually the beginning of a bright future. To understand this with an example, that there was a shipwreck, and there was only one survivor of the shipwreck, and this survivor managed to reach a small uninhabited island. There he was fervently making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, save me. Oh Allah, rescue me. Every day he would scan the horizons, see if there's any help, but there was just no help forthcoming. So he decided finally that using the driftwood, he made a little hut for himself. And whatever little possessions he had of his, he put it in this hut. And one day he went out on this little island, searching for something to eat, going to look for some food. When he came back, he saw his hut is on fire. His hut is burning, and all the smoke rolling up to the sky. So now he felt, that's the end of it. This is the worst that could have happened. I lost everything. He went to lie down to sleep. Early the next morning, he was awakened by the sound of a ship approaching the island. And the people came and they said, we have come to rescue you. How did you know I was here? He said, you sent the smoke signals. The smoke signals of us told us that you require help. That's why we came. That he thought that it was all doom and destruction and over. That fire that actually took place was a blessing for him. It sent up the smoke signals. So therefore, never become discouraged when things are going wrong in our lives. We should not lose heart. Allah is always at work, and sometimes, most of the time, we cannot even understand it. So next time, remember in our lives, when that little heart seems to be burning to the ground, it may just be a smoke signal which is summoning the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our direction. Living in this dunya, dunya is darul imtihan. Living in this world is a place of imtihan, is a place of test. All conditions that come in this world are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The place of reward is the year after. The beauty is Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, ajabal li amri al-mu'min. Unique is the matters of the believer. Excellent are the matters of a believer. That if goodness comes his way, he makes shukr and this is good for him. If trying conditions come his way, he makes sabr and that is also good for him. Meaning both are to his advantage. He's getting rewarded both ways. It's a win-win situation for a believer in the life of this world. Therefore, we have to always submit ourselves happily to the conditions, to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah puts us to test also, we should not lose heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to test any person. Allah knows us very well. Allah knows our innermost secrets. Allah tests His servants so that Allah can prove their love for Him. Then Allah rewards them. Allah forgives their sins. Allah elevates their ranks in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in advance already that living in this world, tests and trials will come. The ayat which I read in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do the believers think that once they bring iman, once they say amanna, we believe, that they will not be put to test. Definitely they will be put to test. In fact, the stronger a person's iman, the greater the test is. What they say, forewarned is forearmed. Forewarned is forearmed. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Most definitely, we will test you with a bit of hunger, with a bit of fear, a bit of loss of wealth, loss of life, loss of produce. So ahead we are already told. That's why when it comes, then we won't be unduly worried and panicking. Like for example, if the ustad tells the students that in this exam which is coming, it's going to be a very tough paper. It's going to be a very challenging paper. Or there will be one, two questions which are going to be very difficult. So now what? Forewarned is forearmed. So now when the student gets the paper and he sees, identifies this is a very, very tough question. Emotionally, psychologically, mentally, he was ready for it. I was told it's going to be difficult. Oh, this is the one. So he doesn't become unduly distressed. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in advance, I am going to test you. I am going to test you. But then, when a person will realize the test is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى. But after difficulty, Allah brings about ease. A person realizes this condition is from Allah. Allah wants me to turn to Him. Allah wants me to obey it patiently. Then what happens? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Give glad tidings to those people when difficulties come their way. قالوا, what they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are for Allah and we will return to Allah Ta'ala. When a person handles it this way, person realizes it's from Allah, the solution also is from Allah, I will make the necessary patience, sabr, and then on them is Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. On these people comes the blessings of Allah. On these people comes Allah's mercy. And وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These are the people who are rightly guided. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives an example to the effect. Example of a believer is like a thin stalk in the field that is swayed around by the winds. Sometimes the wind blows it to the left, sometimes to the right, sometimes completely down, but eventually it stands up. This is the example of a believer. Conditions will come in our life, hardships, difficulties will come in our lives. Sometimes it will sway a person this way, sometimes it will sway a person the other way, sometimes a person will feel him completely down, but when that storm subsides, then he rises again. Allah gives him that strength again, his condition becomes better than it was, and he gains closeness to Allah Ta'ala. The end result becomes very sweet for him. On the other hand, the example of the munafiqeen is a certain type of a tree, a cedar tree. This tree outwardly is very, very strong, unshakable. It can handle all the conditions of the wind, but eventually that one wind and storm will come, it will totally uproot it. So this is the condition of the munafiqeen. This is the condition of the disbelievers. They feel that we are very, very strong. No one can topple us. No, we can confront every difficulty. We can defy every condition. Until when the time is up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes them out and uproots them once and for all. Remember Allah Ta'ala says that in these type of conditions, you are going through difficulty, but it doesn't mean they are not going through difficulty. إِن تَكُونُوا تَأَلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأَلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأَلَمُونَ. If you are in pain, then remember that disbelievers are also suffering in pain. You are in difficulty and hardships, remember you are not alone, they are also undergoing the same thing. And the big difference is, وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You have hope to receive, great hope of rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have the slightest hope of any reward. There is no reward for them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ayat Allah ta'ala says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you have suffered injuries in the battle, they too have suffered injuries. We find that in the battle of Badr, the Muslims were very victorious. and the Muslims killed 70 of the disbelievers, 70 were taken as prisoners. But then when Uhud came, 70 of the Muslims became shaheed, Sahaba radiallahu anhu became shuhada. So if you suffer injuries in a battle, then remember that they also suffer similarly. We alternate these days of victory and defeat amongst the people. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala alternates victory and defeat. The reason for this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is that وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The first reason Allah gives that why sometimes you will win and why sometimes you will lose, is not always you're going to win and it's not always you are going to lose in the battle. The first reason Allah Ta'ala gives is so that Allah Ta'ala can identify who are the genuine Muslims and who are the opportunists, who are the true Muslims and who are the hypocrites. So when this becomes crystal clear, now in the year after, when the kuffar will go to Jahannam, it becomes extremely clear, crystal clear, this is the reason why they are going to Jahannam. So the losses become, so by these losses that you undergo, all these things become clear. The ayat which I read in the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We tested the believers before also. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So that Allah makes it known that these are the truthful people, these are the liars. So the first reason why these things happen in battle, sometimes you will lose, sometimes you will win, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identifies the believers from the disbelievers, the believers from the hypocrites. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that why sometimes the Muslims will lose in battles, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَىٰ. Allah wants to make people become shaheed. Allah wants there to be martyrs and shuhada. So if the Muslims are going to win every battle, battle after battle, it's all the time the Muslims are winning, then there would hardly be any shuhada. Where are you going to get the martyrs from? Allah has a quota of shuhada. That quota has to be fulfilled. Allah wants you to become shaheed. And this is also so great. It's such a great sacrifice. A person is giving his life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all then after that, the ikram, the reward, the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give in the year after. The third, then Allah mentions, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not love the oppressors. Allah does not love the disbelievers in any way. Even if they are winning the battle, that doesn't make them the favorites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the believers who are the lovers of Allah, and they are the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third reason which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives is وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah, through these battles and through these losses that you undergo, Allah is purifying the believers. Allah is cleansing them of their sins. Allah is giving them high stages. وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And the fourth reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to eventually wipe out the disbelievers. Remember that in the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's great secrets, there's great wisdom. Many times our minds, most of the time, cannot even fathom it. It is only a person with great ruhani insight who can fathom the workings of Allah ta'ala, the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the example when Khidr Musa alayhi salam was traveling with Khidr alayhi salam. To go through it very, very briefly, three incidents happened while they were traveling. The first is, there were some poor people who had a boat, and they offered Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam a ride and transport on their boat free of charge. When they were traveling towards the end, Khidr alayhi salam damaged this boat. Khidr alayhi salam removed some planks from this boat. Musa alayhi salam was surprised, "What are you doing? How can you commit such an excess on the boat? These people are kind to us. They are poor people. They are giving us a lift free of charge. How could you damage the boat?" Anyway, they carried on traveling. Khidr al-Islam at one place took hold of a youngster and he killed this youngster, shocked at this gruesome act. Outwardly a gruesome act, Musa al-Islam couldn't take it. He was astonished. He objected. How could you take the life of this innocent child? Since when is it allowed to take the life of an innocent child? They carried on traveling. They went further ahead and they came to a certain area. And they were hungry, they had no supplies, they had nothing to eat. But these people of this locality refused to host them. They did not even extend their hospitality to them. So the next day while leaving, they saw there was a certain wall that was about to fall. Khidr alayhi salam set that wall straight. He saved it and he set it right and he set it straight. Musa alayhi salam was again taken back. These people, we got no supplies, they got no sense of hospitality in them, and there you are sorting them out, there you are sorting them out. Khidr al-Islam said, well, now it's time for us to part ways. As according to their previous agreement, that Musa al-Islam was not to ask any single question. So then, as they were parting ways, Khidr al-Islam explained to Musa al-Islam, this is the reason why I did what I did. The point we are saying that there are many things that we fail to understand the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khidr al-Islam told Musa al-Islam, you see that boat belonged to some poor people, poor sailors. In that area there was a king who would unjustly seize any boat that was in excellent working condition. If he found a boat was damaged, he would spare that boat. So I purposely damaged that boat to save the boat for these people. That was the means of their livelihood. My damaging the boat became a means of saving their boat and saving their livelihood. Second one was the boy that I killed. That boy was an irreligious boy. And there was a very, very strong fear that when he grows up and becomes an adult, he was going to lead his parents astray. His parents were believers. And due to parental love, they probably would have given in. So therefore, I had to remove that boy. And Allah was going to reward them. Allah was going to give them another child. And that child was going to be a very, very pious child. And a means for their success in akhirat. The third case is for that wall which belonged to those two. That wall which I set right. That wall belong that beneath that wall, these were two orphans. Beneath this wall, there was a treasure. And the father of these two boys, it belongs to two boys, the father had passed away. And before the father passed away, he hid all his treasures under that wall. And that was the treasures which belonged to his two sons who became orphans. So I straightened the wall to save the wealth of these boys. If I did not straighten that wall would have collapsed and all the treasures would have become exposed and would have become usurped. So after Khidr al-Islam gave Musa al-Islam all these explanations, now Musa al-Islam's amazement was cleared and removed. The point is, many, many times, we don't understand the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't understand the deeper secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we did, then we would never be surprised by any of these things. In fact, we would be surprised by our own ignorance. Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Hattab rahmatullah alayhi bhardoy gives a beautiful explanation and says that as long as man is living in this world, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be grief, there's going to be some hardship or the other. A person loves in this world and he says, I want to love a life, there must be absolutely no difficulty, no hardship, no grief. Then this is an act of futility. It can never happen. But the important thing is how to handle all these things. How to save ourselves from the negative impact of all these trials and tribulations that come into our life. Hazrat Mawlana says, ponder on these two things. One, Allah is Hakim. Allah is the absolute authority. Allah is totally in charge. Allah is completely in charge. Allah can do what His servants, what He wants, when He wants, to the extent He wants. Just if a person realizes. But together with Allah being Hakim, Allah is also Hakim. Allah is all wise, meaning every single action of Allah is full of wisdom. Allah in exercising His total authority, every action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is filled with wisdom. Many a times we don't know the wisdom, and it is also not necessary for us to know the wisdom and workings of Allah Ta'ala. So whenever difficulty comes in a person's life, think, the greatest consolation for me, it happened by the hukum of Allah. It happened by the hukum of that Allah who's totally in charge. And it happened by the hukum of Allah who's completely, who's all wise. And every action of Allah is good for me. Yes, I'll have to bear it patiently. To understand with an example, one is a man of intelligence. He has to undergo some amputation of a limb of his. But now he realizes he does it happily. He knows there's going to be pain involved. But he knows the doctor is an authority. The doctor is a wise man. He's doing it in my interest. He'll do it happily. At the end, he's even happily pay the doctor's bills. On the other hand, if you have a little child who doesn't have understanding, now if that child has to go for the same procedure, that child will put up a tantrum and a half because the child can't understand. So therefore, if we keep these things in mind when difficulty comes in our lives, that Allah is Hakim, who's in charge, and Allah willed it to happen, and Allah, every action of Allah is filled with wisdom, so I am happy in the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps me. Together with us, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. To lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from despondency. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. None despairs of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala except for the disbelieving nation, except for the kafirun. So Allah Ta'ala's help will come. A person has to have that patience. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think that you are going to enter into Jannah when you didn't even experience the circumstances of the people before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَى وَالضَّرَّى وَالزُّلْزِلُوا. Suffering and hardship befell them. They were shaken up to such an extent. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. The Nabi and his followers, they were shaken to such an extent. مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. They said, when will the help of Allah come? أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيمٌ. Surely the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. As Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentions, the nature of many people is that we quickly become despondent. We become quickly despondent and we despair. The reason is that once a person loses hope and becomes despondent, then now he feels, I'm free of all responsibilities. Now he starts neglecting his obligations. Remember that causing one to lose hope and becoming despondent, this is the workings of nafs and shaitan. So together with this, brothers, coming to a conclusion, what do we do now as Muslims, keeping in mind the conditions in the world? There's so many things that we are written. One is that we should feel the pain of the Muslims that are suffering in the world. Wherever the Muslims in the world are suffering, we should stay in their pain. What day one day must be passing like, one night must be passing by, how it must be passing, in fact, how the one minute and hour must be passing, where the next morsel of food will come from, where the next cup of water will come from. So we should share in the pain. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, the Muslims are like one body. If the eyes pain, then the whole body pains. If the head pains, then the whole body pains. Together with the second thing is salat. Salat is our direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is so important. When the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, caused untold harm to Nabi alayhi salam, at that time Allah ta'ala revealed to Nabi alayhi salam, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know that your bosom is constricted by what they are saying. So what must you do? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. That praise Allah Ta'ala, glorify Allah Ta'ala, and resort to Salat. That's why whenever any difficulty came Nabi Alayhi Islam's way, immediately he resorted to Salat. Allama Shabir Rahmat Uthmani Rahmatullah Alayhi writes that the remembrance of Allah, salat, zikrullah, ibadat of Allah, these are such things which brings ease to the heart. These are such things which removes grief. Put that ground put that head on the ground and go into sajda and see what comfort you find. But do it nicely. Do it with concentration. We've got to put quality into our salat. We've got to invest in our salat. We've got to offer the salat correctly, consciously, put our mind like how we want quality in the things of our dunya. We've got to put quality in our salat. Make the salat jandar. Make the salat alive. Not just a haphazard salat. Then when a person puts that head onto the ground, see what comfort a person will find. Person will find no other comfort like how he'll find comfort when he puts that head before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. Together with that dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call to me, and I will respond to your call. Nabi alayhi salam mentions, confront calamities with dua and humility. And istighfar is so important. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will never destroy them as long as they are making istighfar. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, shall I show you what is your sickness and what is its remedy? Your sickness is sinning, and the remedy is seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salam mentions, whoever holds firm onto istighfar, Allah will make an opening for him from every grief. Allah will make an exit from every difficulty for him. Allah will give him rizq and sustenance from places they could never have imagined. And also lots of ayat kareema, la ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Give sadaqah also. Sadaqah extinguishes the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Sadaqah removes the bad debt. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, haysan wa cha sadaqah, because calamities can never surpass sadaqah. And with all these good things, also to abstain from sin. Abstaining from sin is the most important. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ الْهَلَكَةَ كُلَّ الْهَلَكَةِ أَنْ تَعْمَلَ السَّيِّئَاتِ فِي زَمَانِ الْبَلَاءِ. Complete destruction is that you do evil. Complete destruction is that you do sin at the times of calamity. And to introspect, each one of us have to introspect into our own lives, which way is my life heading? Introspect into our own hearts, what is the condition of my life? How much sun is there in my life? How can I improve? How can I turn a new leaf in my life? How can I become a better person? Each person, one person becoming a better is aiding to the upliftment of the ummah. And then the Mubarak month is Ramadan. Of Ramadan is coming. Golden opportunity for us to change our lives, to introspect, and to try and acquire the great quality of taqwa. The crux of all this, what I said, that what must we do? The crux of it in a few words is ruju ilallah. To turn to Allah Ta'ala. To come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is required from the ummah as a whole. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to act accordingly inshallah. And to make amal on whatever we have heard. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.